If you didn't get a handout, I think we passed those out already. Can I get just a touch on this microphone? It's a little bit less than on the other microphone. Thought I saw Brother Vatsana back there, outside, of course, and his wife. He is serving, one of our guys, serving in Sacramento Regency Baptist Church and doing a great job. We were up there for the tournament that he hosted, did a fabulous job with the tournament, and he's doing a great job in the church. We're very proud of him and his family, so make sure you say hello to him. Well, we're in Proverbs again, and we've been talking about wisdom in relationships, and we're on our third lesson. We mentioned that Jesus gave us two great commandments. First one is to love God. The second one is to love others. Some of the greatest blessings in life are found in our relationships. And some of the greatest causes of stress in our life are found in those same relationships, okay? It all depends on how we treat them. Understand this. Most breaks in relationships are just a buildup of violating biblical principles of getting along with one another. You can mark that down. Whenever we are struggling in our relationships, if we look long enough, we can track it to a biblical principle that will either help us or that we are violating. And so we want to look at those over the course of the next few weeks. Let's review. I'll just give them to you. Last week, we looked at 3, 4, and 5. We said, leave a good impression with those whom you have contact with. We said, number 4, don't bring up things that could cause a conflict. And then we said, number 5, realize that arguments are the result of being proud. And we could just park right there for a while, but we parked last week, so we must drive on. Okay, this is new. Number 6. Use your words as a tool. Use your words as a tool. Or we could say, realize that your words are a tool. What do I mean? A very powerful verse if we'll meditate on it and really let it sink in. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Very, very powerful if you think about that. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. We're very flippant with our words. We just think, well, you know, I just said that because I was in anger or I was jesting. It's not a big deal. Oh, okay, you don't think it's a big deal, but God thinks it's a big deal. Yes, sir. And he tells us that we need to understand that. If we love it, we'll eat the fruit thereof. The greatest way we have to interact with one another, primarily, the upfront way, is with our words, what we say. And that's very, very, very important. The key to any good relationship is good communication. Over the last, since I think Brian and Erica got married in June, I think we've had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then we have one more wedding left, right? 6, April 29th? Ooh, I pulled that out of my hat. I was thinking 30th. Okay, we got one more coming. We just had one. Not smiling quite so much. Something must have happened. Okay, but and then where's the grandees? Where are they at? Nick and are they hiding? Oh, okay, yeah, okay, they're hiding. So whenever we have that, I typically have a couple weeks of premarital counseling with them. Say, what is premarital counseling all about? Trying to talk them out of it, okay? Just kidding. Trying to let them know that there's more to relationship than the deer in the headlight look that they have right now. Yeah. Okay, oh, everything's going to be wonderful. He's my Prince Charming, you know, riding on the horse. Give him a few years, he's going to look a lot more like the horse than Prince Charming. Yeah. Okay? She's my princess coming in a gown. Well, she'll be flying a broom soon. But anyhow, kidding. Okay, now you're with me. But the point is, you know, we just go over some basic things that they should know going into a marriage that will help them. One thing they need to know is, of course, how we communicate with each other. Most breakdowns in marriages are the fact that they don't know how just to simply communicate. And so what happens is little things are not communicated, or they don't feel the freedom to communicate with each other about these little things. And so they quiet down and they block it in. And what happens, that starts to build up. And over a course of time, there is no communication. And something small that should just be easily dealt with is sitting there, and it's like a dam, water's coming behind it, and eventually it's a weak dam, and what's going to happen, the water is going to break through. And so communication is a key. But it's not just a key in marriages, it's also a key in all of our relationships, communicating and learning how to communicate. There are two ways that communication breaks down. First of all, we shut down. We quit talking. We don't. We're like, I've had enough of this. They're not listening. And then when they do try to come back to us and say, I want to listen, help me to understand, it's like, nope, you won't. That's a breakdown. And by the way, that's going to go nowhere. You have to have the freedom to communicate freely with one another. Make each other feel safe that it's okay. By the way, especially if you're married, if you can't talk with your mate about the very private things of your life and the things that are more important to you, the things that are bothering you, who can you talk to? By the way, let me just back it up for a minute and say this. That's how affairs start. What happens is there's a couple and they're not communicating very well, and then she's at work and some bozo who's just out for whatever he can get. I understand you. Listen, he doesn't understand. Well, we're just friends. They're not friends. By the way, I've said it over and over. Guys and girls can't be friends like that. Look, I was a high schooler. I wasn't saved, and I like girls. And the best line to get to meet girls is, we're just friends. Now, that's what she thought, but that's not what I wanted. Okay? And so, I could communicate with him more than I can communicate with my husband because you've shut down. And then what happens is you'll leave that guy and you'll get this bozo, and now your communication with him is going to break down too. Because it's a community. If you can't work it out and be honest enough to say, look, if you're feeling like that, tell your spouse. At least throw it out there. Well, they're not going to listen. You're not even giving them a chance to listen. But anyhow, that's a message for another day. We'll wait till the summer when we talk about marriage. The other way is because of the tone and harshness of the words in communication. You start to talk, like I mentioned, what was it, last week? Here's how most conflicts are resolved and go in a marriage or in a family. You know, it's like, well, you know, I really think we should do this, and here's why. Well, I really think we should do this, and here's why. Well, that's because you're an idiot. We just completely jump right out of talking about the situation to attacking each other. And that doesn't work. Okay? Don't be toxic. There's no longer communication. Now we're not dealing with the issue. Now we're trying to destroy the other person. That's where the problem is. It's like, hold on a second. Weren't we talking about an issue? No, we're trying to attack the person. We call that being a Democrat. I'll joke with people sometimes. They'll say something. I say, no, now you're not talking about the problem. Now you're acting like a spiritual Democrat, okay? You're trying to shut somebody up, and that doesn't work, and I probably offended three of you, but guess what? We'll all get over it someday. So that's what Proverbs is talking about here, how we use our words. Our words are important. I think this is in your notes. If we are to use our words correctly, then we must understand the importance, really the power that our words have in a relationship. Okay? I think if we really understood, you know, we wouldn't be so free with them. See, you think you could just go ballistic. Sometimes I say, you know, like, look, you're killing an ant with a hand grenade. Okay, you don't need a hand grenade to kill an ant. Step on it. It's good. And sometimes we go ballistic over something that doesn't need to be ballistic. Yep. And they know I didn't mean it. You don't know that. You don't know they don't know you. And you can tell them that, but once you throw the words out there, you can't get them back. They're out. So let's be very, very careful. We vent so freely. You ever see people in public that are just ding, 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 ding in this corner, you know? I mean, years ago, when we had the two-story building next door, the little house, I had the downstairs office in the corner with a little back door and a window, and I'm in my office, and I would have the door open to get some air, and I hear screaming. I mean, just yelling at the top of their lungs. And I open my door and I look out, and across the street, those people don't live here anymore, was a couple in the front yard going at it. And I mean, not just raising their voice. I think we've all done that and found out it doesn't work, but we still do it. But I'm talking about screaming at each other. And I'm like, whoa, you know, that's not good. That's not healthy communication. That is very, very hurtful. You're in public and you'll see a child do something and a mother or father cuss at their kids. How many of you ever seen something like that? I've heard people call their kids the F word. And I'm like, you've got to be serious. Shut up, you little blah, 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 blah. That's hurtful. Yeah. Oh, but I'm going to buy them bubbles on the way out. Keep your bubbles and keep your mouth, I was going to say, closed tightly. Okay? Don't do that. I told years ago, we were at a buffet. It's closed. It was an Asian buffet on PCH. And we're there eating. And a guy, his wife was over there at the table. And he got up. And I think they were having a discussion. And he got up to walk to get food. And one of the workers had cleaned and left a broom leaning against the wall. And he walked over. And he saw the broom. And I saw him. He picked up the broom and said, "This is how you're getting home." Okay? I'm like, now I wonder what that meant, huh? I thought, man, I have to remember that one. That's a good one. But that doesn't help. Words. I think this is in your notes. This verse gives us two options with how we use our words and how they will affect our relationship and the people we communicate with. Our words are either spreading. The first one is death. The power of life and death. What? You're going to kill somebody if you talk to them? No. But you kill relationships. You kill their spirit. Okay? You can cause someone to give up just by just being too much. Okay? You got to be very, very careful. I had to learn this. When I used to coach a girls' volleyball team, I like to win. And I thought our girls were pretty good. But, you know, and don't take offense at this, ladies. I used to say girls' team doesn't need a coach. They need a psychologist. All right? Amen? Ask your wife. She was on my team. I think I made her cry, too. I made them all cry. I'll just be real honest with you. I think I got her during a playoff game. She never cried. One time, we're losing. I'm like, what are you doing? You're better than this. And she started crying. I'm like, well, all right, it was her turn, I guess. But it's like, you know, I start to catch myself because I'm trying to challenge them. And, you know, the guys, I pull them in. It's like, you guys, all you do is talk. Talk, 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 talk. This team's running down your throat. And they're like, nah, let us go. I'm like, all right, go get them. Girls, I do that. And you're like, you're right, we are losers. I'm like, okay. So I started to catch myself, you know. I get on them a little bit, and I could see it. And I'm like, but I'm only saying that because I think you're the best. It's like, all right, we know what you're doing now. But we kill our kids sometimes. We kill our families and friends because we just go overboard. Let's be honest. Let's be careful. Let's not destroy a person with our words. But on the other hand, life. We can communicate life. You know, someone's down, a little bit of encouragement is all they need. Like, what's going on? Oh, man, it's not that bad. You're going to be fine. Yeah, you're good. I have confidence in you. Cross your fingers because you're lying. But I have confidence in you. You can do it, okay? We can spread life. Now, I'll be honest. I am not naturally, if I had to choose, I would be more natural a death ray. You know, if my words were like Godzilla, you know, flames and everybody's frying. But I've had to learn, you know what? That doesn't always help. Sometimes people just need a little bit of encouragement. And we can do that, all right? Life and death. Now, why is that so hard? Look at the verses in James. James chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. James, he's not spreading death, but he sure is telling the truth, isn't he? There, James 3, verse 9 and 10. Therewith bless we God, speaking about our tongue. That whole beginning of that chapter, most of that chapter is about the tongue. Therewith bless we God, even the Father. And therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Isn't that amazing? in one breath, you could be encouraging somebody. In the other breath, you're ripping their arms off and their legs off with your tongue. I mean, you're just going at it. It's so easy for us to snap back and forth. Not saying it's right. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. That's very kind way to say, no, don't do that. Now, he says it later on. He calls your tongue a fire and all that. So what do we have to do? Learn to control our words. You say, do we all do it perfectly? No, but to the extent that we can do it is to the extent that we can spare killing people and spread life, okay? Proverbs chapter 10, 19. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Now, I know some people talk more than others. Can I get a witness? I remember when we were in Monterey Park, some lady called the church, and Benny was with me from the other church, and they said, you know, I heard about your church. I want to come to your church. I need a ride. So I'm like, I'm going to go by on Saturday, and I'm going to meet this lady. And I went to her house, and I am not kidding you. I introduced myself. I told her a little about the church, and she talked for an hour and 15 minutes. She was a little bit older. I had to go somewhere. Now, I'm trying to be nice, you know. I'm picking her up for church. Well, I did get that out of her and told her what time. And she's just going on and on and on. And I literally had to leave. I was going to be late. So I got up and I said, walked over. I said, I am not trying to interrupt you, but I got to be somewhere else. She goes, okay. And then she just kept going. And I literally, as she was talking, I just kind of went by the door. And, you know, I'm like, okay, I got two more minutes and I got to get out of here. And finally, I'm like, I have to leave. Okay, and so she started coming to our church, and I remember Benny, she caught him one time, and that was the end of it. But she just liked to talk. Now, there's nothing wrong. She's a little older, and I understood. She was lonely. I'm not. But, you know, some people have a tendency. They're a little more bubbly. They talk a little more than others. That's not necessarily what it's talking about. It's just talking about when we're in something. The more words we use and the faster we use them, the more opportunity we have to say something that's going to cause trouble, that's going to be wrong, okay? But if we can think a little bit, and we can control what we're saying and think before we, you know, think before you drink or think when you drink. By the way, that's ridiculous. You can't think when you drink. As soon as you take that drink, it dulls your thinking. Okay? And so, but think before you speak. How about that? That works better. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now, that's what we're supposed to do. Now, in the book of James, we didn't read it, but it just says it says that we all are going to struggle with our words. It's a lifelong thing we got to work on. There's times that we violate it. As soon as we violate it, you're going to know, especially if you violate it with somebody else. But it says, watch what comes out of your mouth. Don't not corrupt. Colossians 4:6. You can write next to this in your Bible. Ouch. Let your speech be always with grace. Okay, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Most of our words are seasoned with hot sauce and not the mild garbage they give you at Taco Bell. I mean, you know, the what's that one stuff? Devil spit. Okay, that's hot. And that's mostly what we have. So the type of words we produce, we say, will produce usually in kind, not like kind. In other words, the words I use towards people, if I'm harsh, say, have you ever been harsh? If you're harsh, what do you usually get back? Harsh. Okay. If you are encouraging, what do you get back? Encouraging. We were listening to something. We're watching, I think Josiah and I were watching something about Troy Aikman. I'm not even a Cowboys fan, so pray for me. I don't even like the guy. Cowboys are awful. But Troy Aikman, and he was a very intense football player, really intense. I mean, he was on it, yelling at the, I mean, he was in on it. And he said, you know, he retired and, you know, his daughter was on like a volleyball team or something. He said, one day they're walking at the park and he's got his daughter and he's real intense about these things. And he's just going on like, you know, you didn't listen to what coach says and blah, 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 blah. And he's all like this and how to be a better player. Coach said this. And he said, as he walked, he finally looked next to him and she was not there. She was way behind him and she's crying. And he goes back and says, what's going on? She's like, Dad, you got to understand, I'm not going to be a professional athlete. Okay, cut me some slack. And he finally realized she didn't need to be chewed out. She needed a little bit of encouragement. And so let's understand that. Let's understand the principle so we can reap the rewards in our relationship. And they that eat it, love it, shall eat the fruit thereof. Okay? Let's give you one more. We were a little bit late, so give me 5 extra minutes. Number 7. It's better to enjoy peace in relationships than to have property and prosperity with strife. Now look at these verses. Proverbs 15, 17. Better is a dinner of herbs, where love is, than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. Okay? What is better to have a salad, but you have peace. Okay? Now, I don't know. Depending on how hungry I am, I might take the steak with some strife. Okay? Just like pretend I'm not listening until the steak's done and then get out of there type thing. But it's better to do that. Proverbs 17:1. Better is a dry morsel. That's like bread. That's old bread. And quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. It's better to have lesser food, salad and dry bread, and peace and love, than better food with hatred and strife. And by the way, if you have hatred and strife, it'll actually take your hunger away. Because we can have a bad spirit of discontent, we sometimes get less important things, or we allow less important things like possession and prosperity trump our relationships. What's more important? It's more important to have good relationships than to be prosperous. Because of this, we all need to be work on being better in our relationship. If most people would put as much time into having good relationships and learning how to relate to people as they do chasing the dollar or some new possession, we'd have a lot better relationships. You know, sometimes husband and wives, they get frustrated with each other, but you got to understand, that person's got to be the most important person in the world to you over everything else, even when you're at your most frustrated level. And sometimes we just get off course with that, and we need to be careful. Goes back to the principle of contentment. Well, what's contentment? Joy isn't found in things. It's not. Joy is found in the intangible, important things of life, not some possession you have. It's in the relationships you have. It's in the people God brings into your life. It's in your family. Those are the really important things. Now, people will say those are important, but how often do they violate principles for those very people? The guy that wants to work, you know, 100 hours a week because I'm climbing the corporate ladder and I'm making all this money, and after all, I'm doing it for you so you can have more things. How many marriages have been destroyed by that, when the spouse will just say, I don't want things. I'd rather you be around. By the way, you know, we think we can buy our children off. Well, you know, if they get mad, I'll take them to Disneyland. There's nothing wrong with taking them to Disneyland, but that's not going to solve every problem in the world. You know, I'll buy them a new bike. I'll make sure they have all this stuff. They would rather have a dad and a mom that are around. A dad or mom that's having a relationship with them. Now, again, if you want to go to Disneyland, go. If you want to take them to the store and buy them a nice gift, do that. But it's more important that maybe, you know, you take your little one out to Taco Bell. I remember when Emily was like, I don't know, she was turning 2 or 3. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to take you out to eat wherever you want, and then we'll take you to the toy store, and you can buy whatever you want. I didn't choose this. She wanted to go to Taco Bell. I'm like, seriously? I'm like, okay. So she dressed up like a princess, and we eat at Taco Bell. We're sitting there, and she's all dudeed up, and she's looking nice with a bean burrito, you know? And then afterwards, we go, and we get it. We took one of the grandkids, my favorite, by the way, not because she's my favorite, but because of the way she picked toys. We took Ellie out. It was her birthday, so it's like, all right, we're going to go. We're going to eat at Chick-fil-A, and then I think I took Emily with me. We'll take you to Chick-fil-A, and then I'll take you to Toys R Us, and you can get whatever you want. I take her there, and she's looking around, and she picks some cheap toy. And I'm like, you know, I'm kind of cool with that. But I'm like, I don't want to be a tightwad. And so she wanted a doll. I took her to the more expensive dolls. I'm like, sister, look at these ones. They're much better. And I showed her all these dolls, and she would not get back off that first one she saw that was like $5. So I'm like, fine. So I got her the $5 or $10 one. And I'm like, you got to get something else. And there's all the, grab one of these. And she's like, no. And we had to force her to take another toy. Okay? That's, look, spending time with your children and taking them out places and being with them and just, that's more important than, you know, buying them a cheap doll, okay? But it's more important than all, well, I provide all this for them. And thank God you provide. But that relationship is more important. Okay, you do all that stuff and that little one grows up and has no relationship with mom and dad, particularly dad. Dads, you know, in our church, you're not gonna get a free pass if you're not with your kids. The world may give you that. Well, that's not, I'm a dad. I don't do that. No, you're I don't want to say anything mean, but I'm thinking of several words. Okay, you're not a dad. You're not a dad. Dads are front and center with their kids. That kid's going to grow up one day, and you know, and I'm not old, but I'm older, and I have a few that are married. Man, they're out of the house. Now, Stephen, we couldn't get him out fast enough, but Allison, and we should have kept her a little longer, okay? But although, when they're giving you grandkids, it's like, hey, why don't you all get out of the house and start sending them over our way? They grow up fast. And well, you know, when they're little, you can kind of sweep things under the rug, and when they get older, there's no rug and there's no broom. And so just take advantage of that time. Same thing in our marriage relationships. We need to make sure. Our friend relationships, people, not even just that. What about our family that doesn't live with us, our in-laws, our parents, our siblings, that type of nature, that type of thing. If you're successful in everything but relationships, you're a failure. I don't mean to be harsh, okay? I didn't say loser. I don't want to get politically correct, but you failed. That's not the big deal in life. You know, I'll read some leadership books, and I've read this in several of them. They said, no successful man ever said on his deathbed, I wish I'd spent more time at the office. None of them do. Why? Because they'll realize, you know what? That's the important things of life isn't the stuff. Peace in relationships is more important. We'll end with one of my favorite characters, Ebenezer Scrooge. You know, guy had all the money in the world. And then what happened? He's miserable, miser. And when he got saved, they didn't give that. They cut that part out of the movie. He got saved. He met Christ. I'm kidding. I don't know if he did or not. But, you know, even the world understands sometimes that giving is where it's at. How we relate with each other is more important than what we have. And so, well, you know, we have a big house. We have all this nice stuff. But do you have a home? When you go home, you know, do you look at each other like, oh boy, here we go. I got to get through this so I can get to work tomorrow. That's no way to live. And we want to live so in such a way we have that relationship. That is more important. Look at one more verse here. Psalm 37, 16. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Then we need to work on just being a people person and getting along. Romans 12, 8. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Okay, that's more important. Let's pray.